Welcome to Elevate Your Event, your favorite podcast for transforming fundraising events. Join us weekly for expert tips and creative ideas to make your next event a standout success.
In this episode, we are joined by our friends from the Colorado Springs Conservatory as they discuss their successful event and how they implemented some really cool tips and tricks to take their event to the next level. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Elevate Your Event. And we have a treat for you today. We have the Colorado Springs Conservatory group joining us today. We're going to hear all about the most amazing event that they ran in the last month or so, right? Was it about a month ago? Why don't we give a date just because we don't know when this podcast is going to be released. So what date did you guys have your event?
It was March 3rd.
March 3rd. So a little over a month ago from when we're recording this podcast. So welcome. And we're joined today. My name is Lori. I'm the marketing director with Hambid. And we're joined today with Diana, our sales guru, and Elise, the most amazing service team member we have here.
She's, those are all true statements.
We do love her.
Right.
Event expert extraordinaire. So we're going to take off. Why don't you guys... start. Diana, you can start first.
Yeah, thank you, right. Lori, for doing that introduction. You know, y'all, one of the main reasons that we wanted you to join us today is we have so many listeners out there that they are raising money for their organizations, and they want to know how a successful event looks. And it's also important, I think, for our listeners to understand the evolution of an event. So will one of y'all talk to us, just pretend that I live in Indiana and I don't know you, or I'm from Oregon. Like, let us understand what the Colorado Springs Conservatory is, and then talk to us a little bit about how you fundraise throughout the year. And then because I'm going to only ask you three questions at a time, let the third one be, talk to us about this one in particular, what was the inception of this event? Where were the ideas? How did it turn into what it turned into today? So I will give you all the floor. Maybe you guys could also introduce yourselves as you're introducing your organization.
Sure. I am Scott Marble. I am the Chief Development Officer. I've been with the organization for 4 years and have worn a number of different hats. But in any nonprofit, you're always a fundraiser. That's just how it
totally.
Always works. The conservatory is actually now in its 30th year. And really, it's, you know, our mission always is to be the premier multidisciplinary arts institution here in the Pikes Peak region. So we do everything from music, starting for children at 6 months through graduating through high school in music, in piano, in guitar, in theater, in musical theater. We have a series of performances throughout the year that range in the number of 15. Some are main stage, some are showcases here in house, some are for other events across the city that we perform for other organizations. But it really is all about the exploration of the music, and through that exploration, our students find their voices, both figuratively and literally, if you want to take a look at it that way, because it's about building that confidence and understanding that the world is really a collaboration on every front in every industry. And for many people, myself included, as a former performing artist, you recognize that in those experiences, working through the development, the creation of the hurdles of bringing something to life, be that a song, a play, an event. What we're talking about today really is our joint venture with the Wine Festival of Colorado Springs, which is about 6 or 7 years older than the conservatory. It was founded to obviously bring the joy of wine and that understanding into our community. But it's always had a supportive element where it gives back to a nonprofit in the city. And so we have been that recipient for about 10 years.
Amazing.
It's just been going and going. It's pretty amazing. This past year, every year it features a different wine or different region, different country. This year it was the wines of New Zealand. And over the course of 4 days, there were 8 different events. And where Handbit really came in to assist us was with the final gala. And, you know, in learning more about what Handbit offers and seeing how well and how smoothly that helped us with both online auction as well as a live auction and registration at this fundraising gala, which is the finale of the festival, where thinking more about, okay, what other elements could we use within the platform, particularly ticket sales. We do that on our own right now through a different service. But this was basically us dipping our toe in the water with Handbid for the gala, because that is the most complex one with the live auction and the Raise the Paddle. And Monica and Chantel have been doing that particular registration checkout piece for years. And so having the opportunity to alleviate some of that stress of, oh my gosh, you know, 20th century paper and pen, we're now in the 21st century. But it was interesting to try to also move the Wine Festival Committee, because it is a joint venture. So we just kind of said, okay, we're doing this and we're going to make the pitch that this is the best thing to do. And without taking anybody else's words, I know we were just all very happy with the way the process worked out, and having Elise there to be our coach all the way through the gala was just great.
It was an honor to me as well.
The setup.
Well,
thanks, Elise. But
thank you so much for sharing all that, Scott. I think, you know, what one of the things that since y'all are here, we didn't get dressed up for nothing. I want to just ask you, share with us and mostly our listeners, what were the things that you wanted to mitigate by moving your auction from paper bid sheets to a technology solution? Monica, I'd love to start with you. What are your thoughts?
Okay. Just being able to capture the donors that are coming to the event. It was very, in the past we would, it was like, of course, all the paper that we had to do, and we were missing out on that important information of getting who these people were into our database. Mm-hmm. So that was by having Handbid assist us with that, it helped to create that, combine that together, I guess.
What I'm hearing from you is what I talk about a lot with clients who are considering moving from paper to mobile bidding, and that's accurate data, right? Like,
and thorough,
right? Accurate
thorough
data.
Information, yeah.
You want a way to reach out to them for future events, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we were missing out on the important information, getting their contact. And then also following through, getting the money from.
Oh, there's that.
Which is
issue.
Also very important.
It was a big chunk that was missing, because we were missing. I mean, they would be checking out and we wouldn't have any way of getting back in contact with them to get that donation from them. So that was a big chunk that was missing.
I see. Okay. Thank you for sharing that. That's a big one. That's a huge. So it was a revenue that you were hoping to not have to recover, because you were going to have all that saved in the system and cataloged correctly, but also the data behind all of that. Who is Joe Smith? Who is John James? We want to keep these people in order so that we can reach out to them for the future to let them know what the Colorado Springs Conservatory is doing right now. Awesome. Okay. Well, Chantel, how about you? What are your thoughts in moving from paper to mobile? What were some of the things you were hoping to mitigate?
I think that the biggest thing was what Monica said, but also that I feel like the experience for our attendees was elevated. It wasn't, you know, in the past when you have things and you're trying to check people in on paper with programs and hand and paddles, and, you know, there's just a lot of chaos, and they feel that the you know, our guests feel that as well. So I feel that being able to have a process that was easy, clean, you know, there's no question about what needed to be done or what they needed to do or how they were going to find their tables or any of that. It just really eliminated a lot of questions. and I think made everybody feel more comfortable and secure in what they were heading into and coming out of. You know, we didn't have long lines at the right. end.
Not at all.
Which people that had been there in the past would have experienced while Monica and I are trying to enter things and write things down and double and triple check each other. And yeah.
I think it was a great
Elevated experience for us, but also and most importantly for our guests.
I love hearing that.
Yeah.
I love hearing that because we frequently hear feedback around we want to make it easier on ourselves. We want to be able to collect those bids and then also get the money through invoicing and receipts. And we get that. Like we are 100%, you know, in support of that. But the whole concept around it elevated our guest experience because that's what we're there for. We're there for these guests to show up and give and donate to your wonderful organization mm-hmm. that they already love. So, you know, one of our Q2, Q3 objectives we're always talking about right now is how can we elevate the guest experience or that first touch for a guest. So I love that that made such a big difference and that it gave them confidence to be able to move forward in giving to you as an organization, either through donations or bidding in their silent auction or live.
Yes.
That's really neat.
Monica and I just kept saying, really? That's all we have to do? It was really, you know, in terms of our experience and actually being able to enjoy the event and what was happening and not be worried that we were missing something or someone or, you know, yeah.
That's
so
amazing.
It elevated, I think, the whole experience.
That's great. We love to hear that. We love to hear that.
That's good. And just to throw in a little bit of relaxation for you guys, you know, and being able to enjoy it. That's not something we hear from a lot of auction managers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's one of the things I want to do when I'm there to assist. And you should have a little fun. You guys mm-hmm. work so hard and it was a beautiful event and it really, it's nice when everyone involved can enjoy it a little bit.
Scott, did you have some thoughts you wanted to add?
Oh yeah. Just on that same note of Chantel's, I think people were, in the past, from a guest experience, would look at us like, oh, okay, we're doing this on paper. Because we were concerned that, oh my gosh, we've made a change to the experience and our donors. And they were, because this is the way of, you know, events now. You give your credit card and you get checked in and you're done. And so to see that reaction that, yes, of course you're taking this step, just helped us recognize that it was the right thing to do. Seeing the reaction of our guest who we thought might be like, whoa, don't want to do it this way. They're like, oh yeah, sure, here it is. I mean, I tap my card now. I don't even, you know, I don't carry cash. And so of course you don't have paper, but I think all of that. And I'll just chime in too, watching, because I wasn't at the desk the whole time, but watching Elise interact with both Monica and Chantel as different scenarios came up that we had sort of talked through. Well, this person's with this table, or we don't have a name, or how do we do X or Y? It was just great to see that coach also being that sense of calm. Okay, we've got an answer. It resides in Elise, so we're going to be fine. And so there wasn't that that moment of panic. And you know, I know this is going out to your listeners, so I would highly recommend that. It was well worth the investment, as well as
amazing.
Just an additional great source of positive and fun energy at the table to have that person by your side, particularly the first time you do it. And then even on, just again, made it so much more seamless and just gave us an air of professional knowledge that I don't think anybody was feeling at that moment. So that was just, she was a great coach. So just wanted
thank
that.
Thank you.
Great.
Now
and
everyone's
going
to want Elise. I get it.
We do try to, you know, teach you, and not that I ever want to not come back to your event, but, you know, hope to empower you guys and give you the knowledge that if you choose, you could move forward. You know, with doing it on your
Chantel's
own.
Like, no.
But okay, well, I'm with Chantel. But
you live up the street, you got to come.
Yeah, that's right.
That's
well,
true.
You know, moving away from some of that stuff, do you have anything that you think you could share with our listeners, just like tips or tricks? And it doesn't have to be handbid related, it could be event related, but anything at all that you just share to make a smoother event, a more enjoyable event for either you guys or your donors?
I think one thing is that we were able to implement the online auction, which we'd never tried before. And so that proved to be something that was that added value, which without using Hambit, I'm sure we would not have done that. So just something else that, you know, you when you have more bandwidth, you can do more. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what the platform creates.
Did you guys have a lot of people bidding or a amount of people bidding outside of the event, like that were not at the actual gala? Did you guys find that you had increased your bidder reach by being online?
We do the gala separately. So it wasn't, that one really was, you needed to be present to bid on those particular items. But where it expanded for us was in the past, there was a physical silent auction where you had to have tables. And we brought that up again to the wine festival committee and everybody's eyes just sort of crossed and they were like, no, that means, you know, the physical nature of setting that up, displaying mm-hmm. it, having things, you know, it just, having it online made it very simple. We reached more people. We also were able to produce some donations that were at a lower price point than some of the wine lots that are typically done at the gala. So we could kind of stratify and strategize how we wanted to put things out there. And I think we had like 20, 25 items. So we, again, another baby step, just make it simple. But then it was easy because we said, pick everything up at the conservatory. There was no need to tables and tablecloths and additional swag to make it look good and who took the sheet and who crossed out my name and all of that stuff, that, especially when you're serving wine at silent auction. I think that a little, I have not experienced it, but I have heard stories from these other two that I am so glad I missed and somehow they're still here. So
that would be a fun podcast in and of itself, is funny paper bidding stories, because we hear the craziest stuff.
We do.
So just to clarify, because I wasn't at the event, we've talked about you guys a lot, but this is something I just want to clarify. So you said that you had the silent auction online. So if I'm hearing you correctly, you did not actually set up an entire silent auction area for those items. So you really relied on having software and images from the software, and everybody had to hop online to bid. Wow. I love that, because I've actually seen that as a small trend after COVID. Mm-hmm. People were like, oh, do I really have to set up this whole silent auction with tchotchkes and all this stuff? And to be honest, like, it's nice to have them at your event, but I mean, you don't have to have it.
Right.
No. You don't have to do that.
Yeah.
I love that.
And I think a lot of it depends on, particularly, we knew the room we were going to be in for the gala, so it's more intimate and there really isn't the space.
There was not space.
Yeah, there was.
For sure.
Okay. And then the other evening where it traditionally happened was, this year our attendance was 800, so that would have just been nuts.
Yes.
And so it was a great compromise to be able to raise an additional, $5,000 or $6,000 that was pure profit, because those were all, you know, donations that came in either from distillers or other distributors. We had a few spa packages that come in, and we can then control too. You know, we weren't just kitchen sinking the silent auction. It was, okay, let's be very specific with, we want it to be wine or a higher end spirit or lifestyle piece. And doing it online, I'm speaking as if I did it. Monica did all the work, you know. So I thought it was really easy, but you know, checking in with her and having used some different systems, you know, just checking to say, okay. She was great learning, okay, this displays, and then working with our marketing person, Victoria, because she was taking photos and sending things in. But that seemed to go relatively smooth. I mean, it's a bit of a process, but again, Monica's a smart person. Once she had it down, she's like, nope, this goes here, that goes there. I can change this. No, this is the lie. And, you know, she put it all together for us once we got it branded and things along the conservatory way.
That's awesome. Well, one more thing that I notice about you guys that I think would be a great tip for other organizations is that you work so well as a team. You can tell you genuinely enjoy each other, but you also respect each other, and you're like, okay, well, like, this is your area, this is my area. And I saw that through the whole process. So I think trying not to do it alone is right. very helpful. And, you know, not everyone has that choice to have a team, but, you know, kind of branching off and picking your roles, I think could help a lot of organizations.
Help mm-hmm. people stay in their lane.
Yep.
Yeah.
And maybe take a little stress off too.
Yeah. This is one
yeah,
more.
One more. Last okay. little bit.
Last question.
So I know you touched on this and you said like your guests weren't surprised when you all of a sudden were swiping credit cards or using technology, but any other guest feedback? Did you find anyone who was really pushing back on this that you think kind of turned around or any positive feedback overall?
I think no feedback was the positive.
Well, there we go.
Isn't that sad but true?
It's so true.
People would leave upset or frustrated. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's, I think that in and of itself was the answer to that. It, people weren't frustrated or upset. So I think
amazing.
The fact that no one, like Scott said, everybody kind of was like, great.
Okay,
you know, this is what we're doing now. Yeah. And then didn't, then there weren't, I don't think we had any complaints.
Well, no. You would have heard about us if yeah. you,
during
if
or after.
You did.
Right, yeah, I didn't hear any that night. But
no.
Yeah.
And I think that's the so overall piece, too, mm-hmm. because, as I mentioned, it's a joint venture. Like we don't run the entire wine festival piece. Mm-hmm. We have a local committee that does the seminars. And so there were a few things that we brought up. For instance, the whole seating chart and making of programs and labeling of programs and all of mm-hmm. that is a bit of a social piece for some of those committee members. And so I just picked the moment and said, well, you don't need to waste. We're going to save you some time. You can still get together and arrange the tables, but all we need is a piece of paper with who's with whom, because they would spend hours like, and logistically it was better because I would have that part of the committee going, okay, well, we need the names and it's Tuesday and the event's on Saturday. I'm like, that's 4 days to sell tickets. But they needed to print labels, you know, that sort of thing that they were putting on programs. And so to see the reaction of the members of the wine festival committee as well, who have been doing this for 30 years, and sometimes we have to pull a little bit into the future, mm-hmm. was a success because they came away with, wow, that was great at registration, and the silent auction was not chaos and a mess. So we gained some support and acknowledgement from them. I think they were a little trepidatious to begin with, but then saw it all come together and were like, wow, that was a smart move.
I love that. That's amazing.
Great feedback, guys. Well, what are your final thoughts that you might want to give and share with our listeners out there who might still be on paper bid sheets or maybe who are thinking of making any sort of change within the organization? I mean, we know how much effort goes into events in and of themselves. We'd love to hear your kind of final thoughts around all that.
I would say it will change your life. Move from the paper process.
Change your life.
To this and that having the personal coach is the way to go.
Yeah. Awesome. Love that.
Perfect.
Well, and I think just from a package perspective, I liked the fact that we could break things out. So we didn't have to do, okay, you're doing your ticket sales online, you're doing all this, you're doing all that. You know, we could sort of go, okay, we want to start here.
Yep.
Our main goal is mm-hmm. this portion.
Yep. Right.
And then obviously because of the success and the understanding of the integration with Bloomerang, I would say to any of your listeners, make sure that, you know, your CMR or will interface with HandBid, because that was another piece that we were really excited about. And so now our marketer was like, oh my gosh, if we had done tickets through, so that would be our next thing where we're going, oh, maybe we'll ticket all the events this way. So to be able to do it gradually made it seem much more manageable, where in some cases you got to take the whole suite and you have it designed in such a way that, oh, if you just want this module, let's do that. Mm-hmm. And here's how we work through that. Mm-hmm. So just in terms of how the system is set up, just that's very, very helpful.
Great. And Monica, how about you? Any last final thoughts to leave us with?
You know, I think this is an awesome tool, and I'm so glad that we had decided to do this, to give it a shot. It was a little scary at first because you're like, what's, you know, like, just the, but learning the whole process of what this can do and how better it made us. And yeah, it just made so things so much easier. And the handbed itself was easy to navigate inside of there, and how we were able to just go back and look at the receipts and then sending emails out to some of the people that didn't pay their invoice. That was nice to see and keep track of. But just overall, it was just an amazing experience. And I'm glad that we were able to do this because it did make our lives a little easier to do, to manage.
Great.
And like also what Chantel said with the guests, I think I think they were happy that we were moving forward too.
Oh, love that.
So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, Elise and Lori and I want to thank y'all so much
thank
for
you.
Your time. You've taken time out of your day to hopefully shed this experience and share this experience with our listeners who might be on the fence of whether they should move from paper bid sheets to mobile or just make a change in general to HandBid, and so, or to any mobile bidding solution for that matter. So thank you for your time and insight.
Thanks for having us, and thanks again for all the help.
A special thank you to our friends from the Colorado Springs Conservatory. We loved hearing their story, and we hope that you learned a few things that you can implement in your next event. If you enjoyed our show, please take a moment to leave us a review. You can find us on Apple, Google, and Spotify. Don't forget to subscribe for more great content. And if you're a fan of video, check us out on YouTube. Until next time, happy fundraising.